Broadcasting live from the KTKK studios in Salt Lake City, Utah, this is the Jack Stockwell radio program. To contact Jack from Salt Lake City, dial 254-5855. And now the consummate voice of sense and sensibility himself, Jack Stockwell.
Okay, we're going to get right to it this morning, 8:06 and a little change now. Dale Williams standing in for Jack Stockwell, and in studio, Clint Richardson, the incomparable Clint Richardson, the chairman of Utah We Are Change. We're thankful to Jack to give us this opportunity, and we're grateful to the sheriff of Salt Lake County, Jim Winder, who's been willing to join us this morning. It's always impressive to me that somebody will come down into the lion's den, so to speak, and as I've mentioned before, we've had the attorney general down here being interviewed and what have you. I guess you got to have a thick skin, Sheriff Winder, a pretty thick skin to be sheriff, don't you?
Well, it's, by the way, good morning to both you and Mr. Richards. We're thrilled to be here. I don't know how thick it is, but it's, you know, I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Well, people are very interested in, their interest is growing, let me put it that way, in the UPD, the Unified Police Department, and, you know, what happened in terms of their local police seemed to be integrated under that. And we thought we'd give you a chance to give your side of the benefits, that is, of the UPD and see what you thought of it. You're a promoter, are you not? Or you're a believer in it, I would think.
I certainly am, have been for some time, and I think it affords a number of benefits to the community. And more importantly, I think it resolves some problems with the policing model that we've had for many years. It provides a significant economy of scale, reduces the cost for policing in a day and age when revenues are quickly dwindling, and it improves communication amongst line officers and investigators, so there's a much higher potential for solvability of crimes rather than just emergency response focus. So for so many reasons, I think that the Unified Police Department model is really one that we should embrace, and as you said, it does appear to be gaining traction. We're quite happy about that.
Well, give us an example, if you would, Sheriff, of how, well, let's say someone has stolen money from somebody in a city that they don't live in, you know, don't reside in, and then they take off across city borders. Presumably, UPD is a little bit more efficient at chasing somebody like that. Have I got that right?
Well, let me give you an example from my own neighborhood. A neighbor of mine lives two doors up. Last week was the victim of a vehicle burglary. Some individuals going through our neighborhood in the early morning hours broke into her car. It was actually her son's car, but in there the suspect finds a wallet containing some credit cards. So my neighbor calls Murray Police. I live in Murray, so she calls Murray Police. Murray Police comes out. They do a great job of responding. They take the report of the vehicle burglary, and they indicate in their report that this wallet and contents were taken. Later that very morning, about 2 hours, 3 hours after she wakes up in the morning, about 10 o'clock, she gets a call from a business owner in Salt Lake City saying that her son's credit card is being used at that very moment to make a purchase. So, of course, my neighbor, feeling, aha, here's the chance to get the suspect, she calls Murray Police back and says, hey, you know, my son's credit card that was stolen in that burglary I reported is being used right now. There's a hot lead. And the Murray Police Department, as would most agencies in this valley, said to her, well, call Salt Lake City. It's in their jurisdiction. Now, that kind of frustration is endured by people across this valley, not just in terms of vehicle burglaries, but in terms of domestic violence, where an individual is the victim of a domestic violence in Sandy and moves to Midvale, and now the reports and the follow-up and the investigation and the victim advocacy do not follow that victim. They lose those services because they've had to move out of that particular jurisdiction. What the Unified Police Department says is we live in a valley that has contiguous borders. We don't drive out to Sandy anymore. You drive through Sandy, and you drive through Murray, and you drive through Midvale. And criminals don't know these borders. And it's about time we start approaching law enforcement in a borderless fashion, that when an individual calls and says there's a crime in progress, we don't care what patches on the shoulder. We send the closest unit. We send the unit that is the best trained and equipped and the most reasonably costed because of these economy of scales. That's the example I would use. And those examples happen 50 times a day.
Well, now, question for you, sir. This is Clint Richardson talking. Wasn't that the very model of the county sheriff's department, which was actually dissolved in lieu of this unified police? In other words, you turned all of your, deputy sheriffs, you basically turned those into police officers. They're no longer lawful sheriffs. Instead, they're legal police officers. Now, what...
Well, I'll correct you on two fronts. First of all, they absolutely are still, because they are sworn in by the sheriff, they retain all of the statutory authorities that deputy sheriffs do. My officers that work in the Unified Police Department, uniquely because of statutory changes, enjoy all of the powers that a police, city, municipal police officer has, plus the authority of a sheriff, so they can do things like the civil process service, court security, those kinds of things that are necessary under the sheriff's unique statutory authority. But back to your initial question about dissolving the sheriff's office, yes.
Well, wait a minute now. Does that mean that all police departments have that power?
Anyone that is in the Unified Police Department.
And that is all police, correct?
No. In Salt Lake Valley, the only agencies that are under the blanket of the Unified Police Department are those that serve the communities of Harriman, Riverton, Holiday, unincorporated Salt Lake County, Midvale, that's it.
Well, I'm seeing Unified Police on just about every cop vehicle I see now. In fact, I saw a West Valley Unified Police vehicle.
No, West Valley's not a part of the Unified Police Department.
Hmm.
But Sheriff, so you're saying that your men are still deputies?
They have the authority of the sheriff. Yes, they're called police officers. It's very similar to Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. The Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department is a police agency, but it is managed under the authority of the elected sheriff of Clark County. Doug Gillespie is the current sheriff down there, and all members of the Metropolitan Police Department of Las Vegas have the authority that are ceded to them by the sheriff. So that's the model that we've approached here.
But, well, what I'm a little confused about, you know, I grew up back east, and every once in a while we had all these little burgs back there and little tiny police departments, and you know how it happens. Sometimes you get a guy running that little police department, and he thinks of himself as a little bit like an Arab sheikh or something, and it gets a little abusive. We always had the recourse then to call the county sheriff. And if the sheriff didn't respond as a separate entity, then he had political fallout that he was subject to, you know, in the next election. In other words, how do I call a sheriff's deputy to help me in a hassle, God forbid, that I'm having, say, with a Holiday UPD, where I live in Holiday, a UPD officer from Holiday? I mean, it seems to me there's no more sheriff's deputy or sheriff to call.
Sure there is. You call me anytime. You're on the phone with them right now. And, mm-hmm. and by the way, back east, it oftentimes isn't the sheriff that you call, because eastern sheriffs oftentimes do not have law enforcement functionality. They have been relegated almost entirely to court security and civil process. In the east, most of the time, people deal with the state police.
Yes.
What you will have is township police officers or town marshals, oftentimes they're referred to, and then they will handle all of the quote-unquote lesser offenses, traffic and, civil problems, those kinds of things. And then when it becomes a homicide or it becomes a rape or those kinds of things, they'll call the state police. Again, kind of a different model. But here in the state of Utah and in Salt Lake County in particular, there has been no loss of accountability. In fact, there's been an enhancement of accountability. Not only am I elected as the sheriff, so I am subject to the will of the people every 4 years, but I also answer directly to a administrative control board that is made up of mayors of the areas we serve. When I say answer to, in a very real sense, they manage the budget directly and they set policy directives. That is the difference between the sheriff's office of old that Mr. Richardson was referring to and the Unified Police Department. Under the sheriff's office, when people would quote-unquote contract with the sheriff as a city, they would lose all control. They had no real budget authority. They had no policy authority, and that is why you saw community after community leaving the sheriff's contract services, because they were not going to participate in a model that provided them no participation. By creating the Unified Police Department, these cities have very real enhanced control of their law enforcement direction.
All right.
And that's why you're seeing people returning to the model, and we're moving towards consolidation as opposed to away from it.
Let's talk about what this consolidation really is, because, okay, you are in an elected position as protectorate of the people of the county. You're actually the only law enforcement officer, and I say law very specifically, law enforcement officer that is elected by the people. Now, what we are wondering here is, how can you wear that hat as the elected official and also wear the hat of the chief executive officer of a private corporation?
It is not a private corporation, Mr. Richardson. It's an independent subdivision of the state of Utah created by the Utah legislature. It is no more private than the sheriff's office or any municipal.
Really, because the mayor of the county absolutely agreed that it was a private corporation. Well, it is a private corporation.
It is not a private corporation. Sir, a private corporation is funded by private dollars and is held in the public or in the private purview. This is a public entity created by legislative caveat. Here's the example. A mosquito abatement district, a fire authority or fire district, all of these independent subdivisions. In fact, the very cities that we service are independent subdivisions of the state. The city of Taylorsville, when it was created by the legislature, it ceded from unincorporated Salt Lake County and became a city. It did so under the same authorities that we created the Unified Police Department. It created a new subdivision of political entity. So there's nothing private, sir, about it.
Well,
participation in it, no private dollars funded.
We had Mayor Caroon on last week, Sheriff, and I'm not sure that his statement contradicts what you're saying. It's just a few seconds long here. I think we have it on audio.
My guess would be private corporation in terms of efficiencies, because we are moving towards a model that is much more efficient than the regular public entity. That would be my guess, but please play it.
Okay, when we're saying efficiency, that's efficiency for you, but I don't feel it's very efficient for me.
Well, you should. It saved the citizens of this county almost $4 million this year alone. Saved the taxpayers of Midvale City $1 million. $1 million, sir.
But you charged a $175 police protection fee.
No, I didn't charge that at all. The Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area did. The unincorporated county did. The UPD never charged a fee, sir.
I'm sorry, but that is a special financing district of the UPD.
When you say you created the police...
No, it is not, Mr. Richards. And until you understand your financing models a little better, I wouldn't spout off.
All right, well, here. Well, I'll tell you what. You are quite a slick talker.
I'm just trying to stick
You keep interrupting me, sir, and that's quite rude. Let me just read what it says from the Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area website under About the SLVLESA. It says the sole purpose of the Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area is to provide funding for police services in the unincorporated areas of Salt Lake County. The Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area does not provide police service. Instead, it forwards revenues to the Unified Police Department, which provides law enforcement service areas to the unincorporated county. The UPD is responsible for all police operations, and the Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area was created by unanimous vote of the Salt Lake County Council, not the voting public. The council appointed Jim Bradley, Michael Jensen, and Mayor Peter Caroon to serve as the service area trustees. Councilman Bradley serves as the chair. That's from your own website,
sir. All right, here comes our break. It's a hard break, Sheriff. I'm going to give you all the opportunity you want to rebut. We do have a hard break for commercials. We'll take that break and come back, and we'll let Mayor Caroon weigh in for a moment on this as well.
AM 630, K-Talk, Utah's independent radio voice for 45 years.
All right, we're back, 821, and a little change. It'll be 822 pretty soon. We've got a lively discussion going here. with Sheriff Jim Winder, and we'll light Sheriff Winder's line back up here. It's a little audio from last week. We were talking to the mayor about this very issue. Let's play that for a few seconds, then we'll go back and let Jim Winder rebut what Mr. Richardson, my friend Clint Richardson, was saying earlier.
When you say you created the police department, you actually dissolved the sheriff's department and just made that into the police department. Do I have that correct?
Well, again, there's the sheriff's office still exists, and the sheriff still exists. But
The elected sheriff still exists, but he became CEO of the private corporation named UPD?
Correct, and just like I'm the mayor over the Salt Lake County with the council as my board, the sheriff became the CEO of the Unified Police Department with board members overseeing his actions.
Okay, any Mr. comment Richardson, on that, Sheriff?
Yeah, Mr. Richardson said private corporation, the mayor didn't, and that goes to my exact point here. Mr. Richardson is making a number of assertions here that are inaccurate. And if you're going to inform your listeners, you ought to take the time to understand what it is you're talking about. The Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area is a completely separate entity of Salt Lake County. It chooses how to raise revenues to pay for a variety of services. It pays for, the county pays for in its municipal services budget, public works, animal control, law enforcement, a variety of municipal-like services. The county decides how to pay for that. They then forward money to a separate entity created by the legislature called the Unified Police Department.
That almost
it's not
sounds,
a private corporation.
That almost sounds like a cutout, though. I mean, how is what you guys are doing and who you are different than a private contractor at this point? Let's say Z or Blackwater. And I'm not suggesting that the sheriff's department is acts like Blackwater, but I'm just trying to understand organizationally how that's any different.
Well, I'll tell you exactly how it's different. One is private, one is public. My board, the people I work for and with, are elected officials of the various cities. It's exactly the same, as I said, like a mosquito abatement board or any special service area designed to function with one particular service level in mind. The Unified Fire Authority operates in exactly the same fashion. What it does is it takes the revenues from the various areas it serves and it puts them into one pool for the public purpose, and it's designated for that purpose. No longer do people pay into the general fund and are told one day that those monies are going to go to police and fire, and instead they end up with solar panels or new sidewalks. When people pay money for police and fire, they expect those dollars to go to police and fire. What this model has done is it has absolutely siloed those revenues. So now when the Unified Police Department or Unified Fire Authority goes to the public and says, we need an extra dollar, and we haven't done that, by the way, because our costs have gone down, but if we ever do need to go and ask the public for more money, the public can be assured that every single dollar that transmits to the Unified Police Department through their taxes will go into one service and one service only. And it'll be managed. It will be managed entirely by the very individuals they elected to manage those services.
Really? Are you speaking about the Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area?
No.
No.
No, Mr. Richardson, you keep trying to inculcate the Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area, and in the website paragraph that you just cited, it made my point for me. It is created by the county. It is overseen by county councilmen. It is an independent entity of the county. In the only term in there that they mention the Unified Police Department is transmitting the revenues to the Unified Police Department. Now, Harriman City, who is a partner in the Unified Police Department, they may derive their revenues in an entirely different way. That is not for the Unified Police Department to dictate, because they are an independent city. They can use sales tax, they can use fees, they can use property tax, whatever revenues they like, because that is for that city council and that mayor to determine.
Well, Sheriff, you can imagine the position of my listeners, and maybe you're right, maybe I am, and Clint is also adding to the confusion, but we just had the mayor on a week ago. He said that the sheriff's department, he admitted that it was dissolved and that you are a CEO
now. Well, replay the tape.
Wait. You know, Sheriff, please don't interrupt us. We're giving you fair time to talk, so please allow us to talk as well. You know,
Very well. Go right ahead.
Well, yeah, and thanks for being a gentleman. And look, I in my layperson's mind, I associate the term CEO with corporate structure. And I'm just wondering, in the event, and I presume that you're a very responsible sheriff and you know, very rigorous in carrying out your duties and what have you, but let's say you weren't, or the next sheriff is not, and there was some kind of recall or some kind of scandal. If we recalled you as sheriff, would you then cease to be, or would that sheriff cease to be the CEO? How in the heck would that be sorted out?
Now, if I may.
Yes.
You just said that the mayor said the sheriff's office was no longer.
Well, I think Clint asked him if...
Sir, oh, no, hold on.
Go
you
ahead.
Said not to interrupt you.
Carry on.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is not what he said. He said the sheriff's office still exists. The sheriff is still the sheriff. In addition to those functions, there is now a unified police department. So again, that's my frustration and why I interrupted, is because you continue, as you said moments ago, you're continuing to add to the confusion. This is not that confusing. If I am recalled as the elected sheriff, then I am recalled. And my functions in all public office, including the director, CEO, chief, whatever title you want to use, of the Unified Police Department, is gone. And the new sheriff, who is elected by the people, will take on a variety of roles that I currently manage. I manage court security under one hat. I manage general fund revenues for the jail under another. And I manage the Unified Police Department. I have a portfolio of responsibilities, as do many elected officials.
Okay.
The governor is a classic example.
All right, so let's read from Fox 13 News. States quite clearly the details of a new Metro Police Force for Salt Lake County, a feat that has taken several years to accomplish, have now been finalized as of January 1st, 2010. The Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office will be dissolved and will be replaced with a new Metro Police Department. The new department will be run by mayors of participating cities. And then in the mayor's report, published October of 2009, it says the UPD will replace the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Patrol Services. UPD will serve certain townships in the unincorporated area. Over and over, I see reports that this sheriff's department, not the sheriff's office, but the sheriff's department, everything else but you, has been dissolved and replaced by something that you are CEO of. If you're CEO of something, you must be in a corporate structure. You cannot be a chief executive officer of anything but a corporate office. You cannot have boards of directors for something that is not a corporate office. Please explain this.
Mr. Richards, first of all, citing Fox News report of a dissolution is not exactly an authoritative source.
I quoted the mayor's report of 2009.
Let's let him rebut. Go ahead, Sheriff.
Mr. Richardson, the mayor's report said patrol services have been dissolved. You yourself just clarified patrol services. Sir, I have 1,000 individuals still wearing sheriff's, Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office uniforms, managing the jail, the courts. And if you want to go up there and see them driving around in sheriff's vehicles with sheriff patches, you're more than welcome to do that.
Williams, if I may, Sheriff. And again, I got a little Halfheimer's going on here. You have to forgive me. I'm getting a little aged. But did you say that there were still sheriff's deputies? Did you say that at the outset?
Absolutely.
Formally, legally, people who are called sheriff's deputies, they aren't just police officers, they're sheriff's deputies.
We certainly have sheriff's officers that are working in courts and in the corrections environment. The only services we transmitted to the UPD was patrol investigations. That's what went into a new Metropolitan Police Department, because they're funded out of a separate source. And again, that's what you gentlemen continued to mix the metaphors. And also, let me just add the final piece to Mr. Richardson, who got on this diatribe about CEOs not being in the public sector. The CEO of the Utah Transit Authority is a public company, sir. And Mike Allegra, who is the director, and I could name a dozen other public CEOs. In fact, many counties have executives. They have chief executive officers, unlike city managers.
And that is a corporate structure.
Oh, sir.
Okay, explain to me what you are as chief executive officer. This does not make any sense. Why would you need to be both? Obviously, if you're the elected sheriff, you have a lot of power. So how can you be both? It doesn't make sense.
Sir, I'm sorry it's not making sense to you.
Well, where are corporate headquarters, by the way?
Corporate headquarters,
yeah.
Please.
Well, it is a corporation. Where are the offices?
Well, we have the Salt Lake County Corporation. We have the Salt Lake City Corporation. Those are our municipalities. Are you going to tell me those aren't corporations as well?
No, not at all. Corporate headquarters. We have a police headquarters building, gentlemen. And this metaphor of the corporation suggesting it's a private entity, I'm telling you, you're misleading your listeners.
Okay, so why can I go? That's why we have you here, Sheriff. Dale, why can I go to Manta.com, where people look for corporations, and find the Salt Lake, the Unified Police Department of Greater Salt Lake?
Because, as you so eloquently indicated, entities within the state that become independent subdivisions file corporation or corporate documents for incorporation. We have bylaws just like any other, every city.
So you're incorporated.
We are a special service district.
Are you incorporated?
I don't know that, to be quite frank.
Really? You're the CEO of a corporation that you don't know if it's incorporated?
Well, I'm curious, Sheriff, if I have a problem, again, a lot of my listeners, or Jack's listeners, I should say, are just now coming aboard. So, you know, this is new. That last half hour hasn't been heard by some of these folks. If I have a problem, you know, a lot of the federal law enforcement people have gotten a reputation for being really abusive, and they come in very heavy-handed. If I have an incident of that kind where I'm mistaken for a drug seller or some other, I get in a hassle with the ATF, which are notorious for being heavy-handed. Are you saying you will send sheriff's deputies? You will send, you know, let's say I call and you're out of state, or I get your under sheriff or whatever. There are sheriff's deputies that will come out, not UPD police officers, but sheriff's deputies in the traditional role of defending the average person from some kind of abuse, where the buck stops, as it were. Sheriff's deputies that can come out and help me out.
Unified Police Department officers have the authority of the sheriff.
Well, I take that as a no.
I wouldn't.
You're telling me that there are sheriff's deputies in the environs of the courthouse and some of the traditional roles there. But my understanding is, and I've talked to some of the deputies, I have to tell you, and they say, we are no longer sheriff's deputies. See, to me, that's not just a semantical distinction. Or semantic or whatever distinction. There's a traditional American, in fact, it goes back even farther than that, institution where the sheriff's deputy is the and his boss, the sheriff, is the final arbiter in the county for what is legal and what is abusive towards, you know, in other words, the guarantor of our rights. And that troubles me that you have...
We're still in that role, sir. I don't know why you're... What? Again, if you call for the services that are enumerated under the statute that have been there since 1852 for the sheriff to perform, they are still authorized, enumerated for the members of the Unified Police Department. They are.
How can you be the sheriff? Now, as Dale said, your own former deputies have told us in confidence.
Well, serving deputies.
Yes, that they are no longer deputies, that they're actually upset because it was their dream to be in the sheriff's department, not the police, not the municipal corporate police, but the actual sheriff's department, and they are now demoted to police officers. This is from your own former deputies. And so the question becomes, yes, we know that you're still the elected sheriff, mm-hmm. But yes, we also know that you're the chief executive officer, which is, I'm sorry, is a corporate term of some other incorporated entity. If you don't want to call an incorporated entity a corporation, okay. How can you wear both hats? How can you be in charge of a corporation that must make profit? In other words, you must write tickets and do these things that you're doing to continue the continuity of the corporate structure, which is the UPD, and be sheriff. That is a conflict of interest. You cannot regulate the very thing that you are the chief executive office for. This is very confusing for people.
Sir, that last comment is so full of holes that, frankly, it doesn't... I don't know where to begin.
Fill in the holes.
Well, sir, we are profit-making, no public entity, especially a police department, is profit-oriented. Now, listen to me, sir. Do some agencies use revenues derived from citations as revenue? Yes, they do. But we are obligated and under the same provisions as any municipal entity to match our expenses to revenues. Now, I'm sure you'll say that is a profit. Look, budgets in government require that we set our budgets. They're approved by our governing boards, and we have to live to those budgets. We don't go out and make a 5 or 10 or 15 or 20% profit and then store it in some bank account. That is what private corporations do. That you're right. We don't do that because we're a public entity.
Well, actually, we already disclosed the fact that the county is holding on to millions and billions of dollars in funds.
Those are called segregated fund balances, sir, and they're required by the government accounting standards boards to ensure ongoing operations.
Oh, that's brilliantly stated, but that's a 10% reserve,
you
have billions.
Sir, they don't have billions. What they do is, for instance, if you're going to build a building, you have to reserve that amount of revenue for ongoing capital expenses. If you maintain a fleet, you have to have the amount of money to ensure that that fleet is rotated. If you have employees that have vacation and sick leave, you have to segregate funds to ensure that if they separate from the organization, they retire or they are terminated, you have to be able to provide them those revenues out. There's a variety of fund balances, sir, that you have to have in government to ensure that the operation continues. Yes, there are those fund balances. That is different than a profit. Nobody in Salt Lake County or in the Unified Police Department or in Sandy City or any other municipality makes a profit and derives the percentage of those profits for personal use.
I would generally agree that could be a true statement if I weren't concerned that you have just federalized the police department.
And we're going to get to that issue.
Federalized the fire department.
Sheriff, we're going to take a few calls. Are you up for some calls this afternoon or this morning?
You bet. I'm going to have to go here in 5 minutes, I think. Spoke to your producer, so I apologize, but I'd love to continue this conversation.
Well, listen, we've got a hard break coming in about 30 seconds. It gives you a chance to take a sip of water. Before you leave, I want to ask about the question of federalization and the fusion centers and all that, and I'd hope to get some calls in as well, but we can also take calls after your departure. So we have K-Talk Radio, AM 630. We have Sheriff Jim Winder. There are lines available, 801-254-5855. Get you on there today with the sheriff. It sounds like Sheriff Winder will be available till about 8:45 when he will depart. We're going to carry on the conversation afterwards as well. You got to admit, Sheriff is putting up a good fight here and taking some strong challenges in hand, giving as good as he's getting. Let's come back in a minute.
The Voice of Utah. AM 630 K-Talk.
K-Talk.com.
Number one for the most live, local, two-way talk.
That's your number on the wall.
All right, that's us. We're back. It's K-Talk Radio. Extraordinary collision here going on between some very skeptical people with respect to the new UPD formulation for our policing. And the sheriff himself, we have Walter J. Burian, a man of some renown himself, the CAFR one, the expert on the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, calling in with a question for Sheriff Winder. Go ahead, Walter J. Burian.
Good morning, Sheriff. I had a question and a quick comment for you.
Yes, sir, Mr.
On the question, was the UPD set up as an enterprise operation?
No, we are not an enterprise fund.
Not an enterprise operation, nothing similar to an enterprise.
No, sir, we're a special service area.
All righty. And the one comment, you mentioned on the aspect of the fund balances and the need for certain projects. One of the biggest abuses that takes place is, you know, on turning a profit into an advanced liability. Say, for example, you brought in a $3 million profit. You know, I'm just using this as a figure. And you wanted to not show it as a profit. You can create, well, we need to build this building, we need to do this, we need to buy that land, and you make up now $3 million in advanced liabilities, thus, poof, there goes the profit. One of the biggest abuses that takes place in government is the ability to bring in revenue and then stash it in advanced forward liability projects. On the investment funds, the clear thing that needs to be done is a complete review of need versus the ability to just shift monies off to have it build up a power base under an investment fund. Are you willing to take a complete review of all those investment funds?
Oh, absolutely, sir. And I agree with what you're saying. There is a risk. For instance, in an early review of a particular entity that we were dealing with, we noticed that their fund balances were over 100% of their budget. Now, the state requires, as you are well aware, that any government entity maintain fund balances that are, depending on the type of entity you are, anywhere from 5 to 18%. And that restriction is in place to prevent exactly what you're talking about, so that government cannot simply stash the public's revenues interminably and for reasons that are illegitimate. Now, that doesn't prevent, I'm sure, as you've pointed out, that entities don't go and say, okay, we've had a windfall. We call it a profit. We've had a windfall of revenues come in, and we're going to build a rec center or something. And so they go back to their governing board, whether it's a council or whomever, and they say, let's go ahead and segregate. That's the magic term. Let's segregate those monies into a fund balance for that future need. That in real terms is doing what you're saying. So there is that potential. I can assure you that in our organization, we fund at the state minimums, and we fund so that we ensure ongoing operations. So, I mean, your point's well taken, and, you know, our model doesn't attempt or claim to solve all of the public financing dilemmas that are out there, but we're managed in a very transparent manner.
Well, we found in the CAFR with Mayor Caroon, we found over $650 million just on air. And he said that the budget of the county was actually $650 million. So that sounds a little more than what it should. But I have a question for you, Mr. Sheriff. You said that the UPD is actually a special district?
Special service area.
Oh, so it's actually something completely non. What company is actually running that then? Because a corporation that's non-governmental.
Sir, look, wait.
Hold on. A corporation in California named BNBS is a non-governmental corporation which is running the Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area.
No,
so who is running this service area?
It's a bill collection service, sir. And again, for you to mislead your listeners, I tell you, it's shocking. And let me just finally say this, because I unfortunately have to go. But, you know, we started this conversation talking about a model to improve public safety and provide better transparency, better services to the nearly 1 million residents here in this county. And you've turned it, or attempted to turn it, with this obfuscation.
Obfuscation? You've obfuscated my questions at every turn.
Yeah, let him finish because he's got to run. Go ahead.
This kind of discussion is not helpful. If you truly have facts, sir, I'd love to discuss them. But to just throw out these issues about California and the federalization and the lack of power and CEOs and public corporations. I mean, I don't know why your listeners continue to tune in.
Well, would you come back?
You're not going to talk facts. What is the point of having a dialogue?
Sheriff, will you come back? I know you're under the gun and you've got to run. Will you come back and talk about fusion centers and federal integration and all that business?
I would be thrilled to.
Okay.
I would hope at that point in time that Mr. Richardson and this gentleman that called in on the CAFRs seems to be very well informed and has his facts correct. It would be nice to speak to those that have a similar ill.
All right, Sheriff, we're going to honor the fact that you have to run, that you say you're under a time restriction, and say thanks for your
Yes, thank you, sir.
Thank you for your participation this morning. It's 8:49. That leaves us time to do a lot of things with calls. We've got 7 or 8 minutes in front of us. I believe we still have Walter J. Burian on hand. Let's check his connection. Walter, we've got to have you back as a guest for a full 2 hours sometime.
Well, quick notation, has the sheriff signed off or is he still on?
He has signed off, but of course this goes into the archive forever, so you know, your comments won't go into the ether.
I can clarify on the UPD from, you know, the take of what I'm getting here. And I had one concern, and which should be very prevalent if brought up. Now, the UPD was set up as a separate organization, a outside entity, a, you know, separate body.
A special tax district, a financing district.
Now, here's my concern, and I don't think the sheriff can come up with a valid answer for this concern. UPD, you know, the sheriff's office existed. Why was the structure of the UPD not incorporated into the sheriff's office, okay, to give the functionality to the sheriff's office, where in the alternate what they did was they incorporated the sheriff's office into the UPD?
Well, that is the question. That is the question that has been lingering in my mind for the past 51 minutes, and you've articulated it, Walter, is that what was wrong with the sheriff's department to begin with? And I know it was a little bit of a rocky ride for Sheriff Winder, but I do hope he'll come back and develop on that question and treat that question. I found it kind of frustrating talking with Sheriff Winder this morning,
and
inconclusive. I really hope he comes back.
I'll give him a lot of credit. He has a very obviously a very well trained liberal arts education where he sticks fallacies in left and right, and he's quite good at it. I wish that it was a more honest conversation.
His conversation was honest in the perspective of what he's been instructed as to the organizational structure of the UPD. But I go back to the point that, you know, if, say, for example, you have the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts, okay, if you incorporate the Boy Scouts into the Girl Scouts, now everyone becomes a Girl Scout, not a Boy Scout. Boy Scouts cease to exist, and you still call yourself a Boy Scout. You're now under the auspices of the Girl Scouts. You incorporate the Girl Scouts into the Boy Scouts, now all the Girl Scouts are Boy Scouts. The Sheriff's Office, I have no objection to giving the Sheriff's Office more powers and abilities, but to incorporate, and, you know, the word incorporate, I use it as a loose term. You know, with the CEO and so forth, they've created a structure under the UPD. Even though he said it was not an enterprise operation, I'm leaning towards that's the structure of the special service district. But, you know, they did not have to switch the sheriff's office under the UPD. They could have given all of the authority, all of the power, all of the structure, all of the abilities of what they created with the UPD to the sheriff.
Well, I think the clever thing that's happened here, Walter J. Burian, is that, and Clint, comment on this, the fund collection function has been separated. What is the outfit called?
That's why they did it. That's why they did it. On the UPD, it gave them statutory ability to collect fees. Taxes, you need voter approval.
Yeah. If you really want to understand what this is, you have to research something called a public-private partnership. And that's what we're talking about here. That is what a special finance district ultimately becomes, where,
The bottom line, Clint, is they gave the UPD the ability to take money from the population, not tax the population, which requires voter approval.
While building in deniability, because the UPD doesn't collect any money. It doesn't get involved. It gets paid. I mean, they get paid. They get funded. But they have nothing to do with the collection of funds or the raising of funds or anything else. It's organizationally separated into that. What is the entity that does the collection?
So, NBS NBSgov.com. It's NBS.
All right. Walt Burian, hold on for a second. I'm going to try to bring at least one caller in before they come down and lynch me, and then I'll light your line up. I'm pretty rustic, pretty rough on this phone, and sometimes I drop people. Let's try it. And now we have both. Larry, you had a question.
No, I just have a comment.
Okay.
Yeah, I found the sheriff very combative from beginning to end. Whenever Clint asked him a question, he claimed Clint was accusing him of something or spreading false rumors. That's a typical strategy of that group of people that have a guilty conscience or something to hide. In his case, I think it was both.
Well, Larry, let me give you a little insight into how this was organized. I went out of the way, and I repeatedly told the acting public information officer when I made this appointment for the interview that the sheriff should be informed that this is not going to be some kind of a saccharine, polite, softball-throwing interview. And that's why I think he came in with his weight forward and on his toes, weight on the balls of his feet, as it were. I don't really blame him, because I knew he'd have Clint Richards in his lap, and I like things to be fair and out in the open. So it was going to be combative, vituperative, whatever.
And let me just say, you know, I apologize to anybody if I was too. I was starting to get emotional as well, and that's very hard to do when someone is so, or not to do when someone is so combative. But everything I was reading are from either news reports, the mayor's report, from quotes from Jim Winder, which I didn't get to most of it because we were too busy, and it was a very purposeful, combative mode so that I couldn't get to most of my questions.
There's no need for you to apologize for anything.
All right, sir. Thank you. And Walter Burian, we've got about 60 seconds left with you or with anybody else today. You got any final comments? You're talking to several thousand people here in the Salt Lake Valley, and I wish more knew who you were and knew the travails you have gone through, sir, in order to publicize the great wealth of government, the determinative level of wealth reposing in government.
Okay, well, the key point here, I mean, this is the key point. I'm sure all of your listeners, you know, everyone talk, you know, we'll talk about situations, circumstances, and we hear it all the time and debates. I'm sure not one person has a clue at how much the sheriff's department brought in cash last year, the year before, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, what the increase was in fines, fees, and forfeitures. It's a money operation. Now, when I listened to the mayor's conversation in your last interview,
about 20 seconds, Walter.
I was hoping Clint would ask this question. Clint brought up the point that from 2000 to 2010, there was a 300% increase in the investment funds. And the mayor kept saying, well, we have to keep a 10% reserve. And the question I was hoping to ask him, so you mean that with the 300% increase in the investment funds, that means the budget has increased by 300%?
That's our break. KTKK, AM 630, Sandy, Salt Lake, Ogden, Provo.